The Bible teaches that when we entrust our life to Jesus Christ, God instills a new nature within us. At the point of salvation, we become dead to sin and alive to Christ. We are no longer slaves to our old nature. Well, here's the question. Does our old nature continue to reside in us? And if so, how do we defeat the damaging influence of our sinful heritage? Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll begins his third message in a brand new 7-part series called Living by Grace. It's titled, Needed Changes When Living by Grace.
If you've never received Jesus' death and resurrection on your behalf, do that now. Certainly do that before you have left this meeting. He's taken care of all of it, thanks to the death and resurrection of Jesus, his Son. It's called grace. What God has done for us, which we can never do for ourselves, are unable to earn, and is impossible to repay. That's what our Savior provided for us. We'll read of it in Romans chapter 6 as we're learning together about walking in grace. We've heard of believing because of grace. By grace you have been saved through faith. But there is a walk in grace most believers rarely participate in, and I'm hoping to convince you that it's real. You can do it. Very, very simple to be done. Romans 6, I want to read for you verses 5 through 14 from the New Living Translation. Romans 6, 5 begins, "Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We're no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin, but now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace." And all God's people said, amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To dig deeper into Romans chapter 6 with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insight.org/studies. And now the message from Chuck titled, Needed Changes When Living by Grace.
What are you thinking when you first wake up in the morning? You first wake up. Well, your first glance in the mirror makes you aware that some things have changed during the night. Your scalp looks like it's exploded. Your hair is a mess. In fact, you are a mess. Your breath is so bad the dog whines when you're around him. And of course, your face, your eyes burn, they're blurry. You've got to deal with that. The whole thing's a mess. No one ever says at that point, you know what, I think I'm just going to go to work like this. I'm going to wear this, I'm not going to do anything about it, I'm just going to show up. No, you know better than that. You got to deal with everything to become presentable. But that's not what I ask you. I didn't ask about your attire or what you look like. I ask, what are you thinking when you first wake up? What are your thoughts? Before your feet ever get to the floor, what's going on up here? What are those initial thoughts? Chances are good you're dreading something in the day. You begin the day thinking negatively. You're struggling with maybe some sinful urges or the memory of last night. You see yourself, even before you get up, as a victim, sort of a helpless victim rather than a valiant victor, ready to take on the day. Isn't that amazing? We are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the Savior pulling for us. He is for us. The enemy is against us, but we have God, Almighty God, pulling for us. And He's equipped us with what we need. I find it amazing that most Christians are very well acquainted with 1 John 1:9. We can quote it from memory. But how about Romans 6, 12 and 13? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That just rolls off our tongue. Okay, let's go with Romans 6, 12 and 13. Oh, that guy's got it. Isn't that amazing? Look at it. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil. Now you're talking. Don't go there. Go here. It's interesting, in many states, and I'm thinking of New Mexico, Colorado, California, Oregon, and others have very picturesque, beautiful highways that take you on elevations that are way up there. And there are hairpin turns, curves. And as you go along those curves, you can sometimes see the ocean. Or you can see the chasm as it drops off, thousands of feet down. And it's a little treacherous, but the scenery is fabulous. Now, the State Patrol has a choice on what they will do. They can do one of two things. They can build clinics at the bottom of the chasm. Very well equipped, good physicians, people who do rescue work and emergency work and surgery and orthopedic work to help patch you together when you go over the hill as you tumble down and you need to be rescued and saved from death. I mean, you need to be cleaned up and put back into shape again. That's one option. Or, interestingly, they can provide signs that say, warning, dangerous curve ahead, drive slowly. It's interesting that they chose the latter. I've never heard a state brag about having all the dock in the boxes down there at the bottom of the hill to patch people up once they go over. No, that's called corrective medical work. How about preventive? How about pulling your foot off the accelerator and tapping the brakes, driving carefully, looking where you're going, enjoying the scene at the same time, staying in your lane, and then you can enjoy the best of all of it. 1 John 1:9 is the clinic at the bottom of the chasm. The sign is Romans 6, 12 and 13. Isn't it interesting? We're all aware of the clinic and where to go and who to talk to and how to get patched up. Now, admittedly, there are times we need that. Yeah, there are times we really do need to be put back together because we have failed and fallen. We have an old sin nature that will never go away until we breathed our last on this earth. Like the great song says, "Praise the Savior, ye who know him. Who can tell how much we owe him? Gladly let us render to him all we are and have." And the last verse, listen closely. "Then we shall be where we would be. Then we shall be what we should be. Things that are not now, nor could be, soon shall be our own." Talks about how not until we have breathed our last will we become what we long to be. Because we will have this old nature until the end of our lives. And once we have died and we are taken to heaven, we have a new nature without a sin nature. But as long as we're on this earth, there is the sin nature that keeps knocking on the door of our hearts, saying, "Oh, that would be fun. Remember how we used to do this together? Remember the momentary pleasure that you got from pornography or lust? Remember how you came out on top when you were selfish? Remember how you could argue others under the table and you'd get your way? Let's do that again." There's a new nature that says you don't need to go there. You don't serve that master any longer. Used to sing a song with a former minister of music in another church. "I sing a new song since Jesus came. Serve a new master. I wear a new name. Walk a new road. Have a new goal. Know a new peace down deep in my soul." That's the song of the believer walking in the Spirit. Have a new master. Before, I had a ring in my nose and he had the chain. And wherever he led me, I went. Whenever I thought I could cheat, I cheated. Whenever I could get an upper hand, I took the upper hand. Whenever I could show a little pride, I was proud. Whenever I could call attention to myself, I called attention to myself. That's all part of the ring in my nose. But now the chain is gone. The ring is taken out. I don't have to go there. The old nature wants me to. But by the grace of God, I now have an empowerment that can say no, no, and no. I don't want that. You see, once we are converted, once we have come to the cross and trusted in the Lord Jesus, we have been given a new nature that lives alongside the old nature. The old one isn't taken away, it isn't eradicated, but it now has a new nature in there that is able to silence and control and restrain the old nature. Romans 6 talks about how to do that. I love it because it gives us tips on what we need to know. You see that in verses 6 through 10. And then what we need to consider, 11 and 12, and then what we need to give, 13, and then a whole new way of life, verse 14. That's the way the passage unrolls. First, what are we to know? Well, two things. Look for yourself, verse 6. We know, number one, our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. Before I was born again, sin got its way every time. I had no restraining power within me. Now it's different. Sin no longer has its way. I've got a new power, and that empowerment allows me to live free from the slavery to sin. See the end of verse 6? We're no longer slaves to sin. This is true. We need to believe it in our minds. We need to think it when we awaken in the mornings. We need to act on it through the day. I don't have to give in to that. I don't have to retaliate. I don't have to get even. I don't have to gossip. I don't have to steal or be greedy. I don't have to cheat. I have a power that I didn't have before, and it's at work within me. Verse 8, since we died with Christ, we know, he says it again, we know we also live with him. So the second thing we know is that just as Christ was raised victoriously with a new life, so we are enabled to live a new life like Christ lives. I'm not simply a fan of Jesus. I'm a follower. The life that he lived qualified him for the death that he died. And the death that he died qualifies us for the life he lived. You know that in your mind, and you realize it in such a way that you will no longer let the old sinful man or woman within you have its way. Years ago, when I was a student at Dallas Seminary, one of the Bible lecturers was J. Vernon McGee. We all looked forward to Dr. McGee's coming because he was colorful and did a great job in the biblical text, but he did it in such a way that you remembered his stories, as he put stories to the passages of Scripture. I'll never forget one that he told. In fact, I made notes of it, and I've even quoted it in some things I have written. Let me read for you his words. Dr. McGee said, "There was once a lady who lived in Alabama who fell in love with her childhood sweetheart. They married early in life, and they had a relatively happy marriage. She was faithful to him. He was faithful to her. There were great times of joy. This continued on for years until he was suddenly taken from her, and she missed John desperately. After the heart attack, she just couldn't bear herself to lay him to rest and forget him. So here's what she did. She had him embalmed, put him in a chair, put the chair inside a sealed-up glass case, placed it immediately inside the front door of their large plantation home, so that each day as she walked by, she'd talk to him. Hi, John. How you doing? How you getting along today? She'd walk in the front door. Hi, John. I've just been at the store. Great to see you again. He's sitting there in the chair, not moving, of course. He's an embalmed cadaver sitting there in the chair. And he sat there week after week, month after month. After a year or so, she decided to have a vacation in Europe. So she took off, spending wonderful days there with friends. And wouldn't you know it, she met another American traveling through Europe. They struck up a friendship, sort of had a whirlwind romance. And before they left Europe, they got married. So now she has a brand new husband. She didn't bother to tell him about John. She just fell in love, and they had a wonderful courtship and a delightful honeymoon, and then they made their way back to Alabama where they would live in her home. He looked forward to carrying her over the threshold. He thought to himself, this will be a great moment when I can lift her in my arms and we can go into her house and make it our house. And so he picks her up and he bumps it. I can still hear McGee say, he bumped that door open with his hip. He bumped that door open and he carries her in and drops her right there. Who is this? She says, well, actually, that's my old man, John. He said, stop. He is dead. We're getting rid of John. So he had dug a big hole way back in the back of the acreage of that home and buried him, chair, case, and all, and put him out of their lives. And McGee goes on to say that's exactly what Christ has done for us. However, without realizing the effect, many Christians have put the old man in a case and they greet him every morning and they cater to him every day of their lives. We live as though our old man is still alive, even though he is dead, and we have no reason to give him another conscious thought. Isn't that the truth? How wonderful to remember that we have been wonderfully, beautifully redeemed through Christ, given a new life, provided with a new power, and able to go on without giving any further attention to the old man. How does that take place? How does that occur? Look closely. Keep reading in the passage and go down to verse 11. You also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin. Look at the word consider. The Greek word is actually an accounting term that means to calculate, to take into account. This is not make-believe. This is true. We're not trying to convince ourselves of something we don't really believe. This is not pretending. This is calculating, reckoning that it is so. We take it into account. I am dead to the authority of sin. I now live my life completely different than I lived before I came to Christ. And as a result, Jesus is at work in my life, and I choose to follow him, not the old way of life. Are you ready? That's what you're to tell yourself when you first wake up in the morning. Today, Lord, I'm yours. In fact, see verse 13. Instead, give yourselves completely over to God. Today, Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours. I'm not even my own. I've been bought with a price. Today, I want to run your errands. I want to do your work. I want to carry out your will. I want to live in your power, and I thank you that that's possible. As a result, because of your strength, I'm going to say no to all the things I should not be doing and yes to the things that honor you. You say you want to be a godly man or a godly woman. I believe you. I believe you have that as a believer, that desire. Well, will you turn again and look closely at the verses? Look at verse 10. Listen to the way the Message renders this passage. When Jesus died, he took sin down with him, but alive, he brings God down to us. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you any longer. God speaks your mother tongue, and you hang on every word. You are dead to sin and you are alive to God. That's what Jesus did for you. That means you must not give sin a vote in the way you conduct your life. I like the way it says. You don't give sin a vote. Don't give it the time of day. Don't even run little errands that are connected with the old way of life. Are you tracking me here? It's in the mind. I don't track sin. I don't take sin and play with it and then wonder why I can't get past it.
Such a refreshing word of encouragement coming from Paul's letter to the Romans. We don't need to give sin a voice or a vote any longer. You're listening to Insight for Living and the Bible teaching of Chuck Swindoll. He titled this brand new 7-part teaching series, Living by Grace. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. Over the years, we've found that Insight for Living listeners are also readers. Along those lines, let me tell you about a classic book from Chuck called The Grace Awakening. People often tell us that The Grace Awakening was their wake-up call against legalism. And if you're tired of the exhausting chase after performance-based religion, Chuck's book will open your mind to the realities of God's grace. To purchase a copy of The Grace Awakening by Chuck Swindoll, call us. If you're listening in the United States, call 800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/store. Well, we are deeply grateful for those who have stepped forward over the past few months to financially support Insight for Living. You might have no idea how your gift makes a difference, but we sure do. Every single day, we hear from grateful listeners who hear Chuck's teaching from all points on the globe. In fact, because of your support, Chuck's teaching is translated into 9 languages. So thanks so much for joining us in an all-out effort to make disciples of Jesus Christ in all 195 countries of the world. To give a donation right now, go to insight.org. You can also call us. If you're listening in the United States, call 800-772-8888. And then a reminder, you can supplement your Sunday church attendance by joining us online for the live worship service at Stonebriar Community Church. In addition to hearing Chuck's sermon, you'll get to hear the sacred music as well. You'll find all the instructions for viewing at insight.org. I'm Bill Meyer, inviting you to join us next time when Chuck Swindoll continues his brand new teaching series, Living by Grace, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Needed Changes When Living by Grace, was copyrighted in 2020 and 2023, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2023 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.